Welcome to Movie Dudes, episode 160. I am Jeff, joined as always by Chris.
Hey.
It's been a couple weeks. It was a little unplanned hiatus. Just been busy. I guess there has been stuff that came out, which we'll get to. I did not see as much as I would like to, considering we've been gone for so long, but Chris, you picked up the slack this time. But real quick, starting off, because I am a total obsessed Halloween fan, they released the first official poster for the new Halloween today.
Yeah.
It's just like, it's almost all black, and then coming in from the top of the frame is like Michael Myers' mask, and then way at the bottom it just says Halloween, October 19th. Now that might not sound like much, but for a total nerd like me, I'm like the Star Wars geeks over here, like picking it apart. So there's a couple of interesting things. One, it looks like the name is just going to be called Halloween, which is kind of strange. That'll be the first Halloween, or the third Halloween movie to be called Halloween.
Yeah.
Which is weirder this time because it's kind of a sequel to the first one, I guess. So it's not like a total reboot.
So is it just ignoring?
It's ignoring everything but the first one.
Okay.
I think it even ignores part two. So that's one thing of note. Another interesting thing is, I guess, the mask itself. It looks old and worn and weathered and stuff. I'm not sure if I love it. Again, it's just a picture on a poster, though. So, like, you know, I'll have to see more, like, when we see actual footage. But there are people, you know, there's people praising it. I did see one person say it looks like the grandpa from Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Like, it's so wrinkly and stuff that it almost looks like human skin. Just kind of strange.
Yeah, it definitely has, like, a texture to it.
Yeah. Again, I don't know. I'm not going to go too crazy one way or the other on it until I see more, like, actual footage of it. But, you know, it's giving us a little hint of what to expect there. And then the one other thing I guess I would touch on with this is, like, everyone involved was, like, tweeting this poster out today. You know, Blumhouse and John Carpenter. But I think the most interesting one I saw was Jamie Lee Curtis, who said, you know, in exactly 6 months, after exactly 40 years, Michael Myers returns to Haddonfield, but Laurie Strode has been waiting for him. Now, I don't know if that's just her bullshitting or what, but I found that, like, you know, that's some sort of clue as to what the plot might be. Is she going to fucking clone his ass? Is she going to have, like, traps and shit waiting for him? That'd be great. Who knows? I really think it was a trailer soon, though. I'm, like, dying over here.
Yeah, I think that'll give us a better feel of what's going on here, right? Like,
again, this is me being a total dork and trying to extrapolate stuff out of a blank poster with a Michael Myers mask, but I mean, it is interesting that she said she, like, Laurie Strode's been waiting for him. So, like, she's been preparing all this time. Or is it Jamie Lee Curtis just talking out of her ass? I don't know. I guess we'll find out. But I'm still pretty damn excited about this thing. I just really want to get a look at it to have a better feel of what to think. But anyways, I just wanted to start off with that because, again, I'm a Halloween nerd. But, Chris, you actually saw a lot of movies in the time that we were off. So I'm going to start with you, with some ones that I did not get to see. And I'll go with what I think is the newest one, which is the latest Rock movie, Rampage.
Yes. Rampage is based on the old arcade game. Where it was like a giant, like, you know, King Kong type character, a crocodile creature, and a wolf, and they destroy a city, like, in that game. it's kind of what goes on here. Something falls from the sky. It mutates three animals, one of which is a gorilla that the Rock is like kind of, he is the conservationist at the zoo that this creature's at. And, you know, he's just trying to make sure his buddy George, the albino gorilla, is okay. So it you know, ends up chasing across country, starts out like all the way, I think, out in San Diego with the gorilla, ends up in like Chicago, where they just like rip the shit out of the city.
Nice.
And that's kind of it. Like, it's, you know, it has the you know, personality of the Rock. He's a big personality, quite entertaining. It has Jeffrey Dean Morgan, who plays a he's like a black ops kind of operative type guy who's in charge of keeping this all under wraps for the government. And he kind of plays his Negan persona from Walking Dead. So he's kind of plays like an asshole, but it comes off as charming, and it's very, very well done. He's fun. The Rock's fun. The monsters are cool looking. The cities blow up well. It's a dumb, fun movie. I think this is The Rock's third movie with Brad Payton, the director. Previously did like San Andreas and Journey 2, the Mysterious Island he did with them. And he's actually teaming up again with him for San Andreas 2. So The Rock likes working with this guy. Okay. These movies aren't great, but they're kind of just dumb fun. Like,
I mean, that's kind of what the game was. So
yeah, it was dumb, kind of amusing.
Smash up cities.
Yeah, and that's what, like, the movies that Brad Payton's making with The Rock, that's what this shit is. It's, you know, you go to watch it for the spectacle. You're not going to get any, like, deep story, because the story is really stupid. It's about, like, genetic modification, and it actually starts off in space with a giant rat that has been infected with whatever this genetic modification thing is, and it's chasing this lady around the space station up there. It's really dumb, but it was fun. Like, it's about a 2-hour movie, but it kind of blew by the time. So I'm going to give it a 3. It's enjoyable.
Side note, I did get to see Jumanji.
Yeah.
What is it? Welcome to the Jungle or something?
Yes. Yeah.
That was pretty fun. You're right. I guess I'd probably give it 3 stars. I mean, it was just fun. It's fine. It has some clever humor and stuff in it. It's fun getting to see, like, these people kind of play against type or whatever. Like,
yeah.
I mean, you had Jack Black, who was like the hot girl or whatever.
Yeah. So. He does a great job.
He's really good. But yeah, that was a fun, another dumb fun movie. Switching gears as much as possible. I don't remember if I talked about this at all, or if I had started watching this before last week, or 3 weeks ago now. But whether I mentioned it or not, I'll mention it again. It's worth mentioning. And that is the documentary series on Netflix called Wild, Wild Country.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard about this? Kind of blew up a little bit.
I don't know a whole lot about it, but I have heard about it.
So, long story short, it's like the early 80s. There's a town in the middle of fucking nowhere. And I want to say Oregon or something.
Yeah,
somewhere
in Oregon.
Yeah. And this cult, like, moves in on the town, kind of takes it over, and they outnumber the people living there. Think of that documentary that we watched last year or the year before, Welcome to Leith.
Yeah.
Where it was, like, a town where Nazis came and took it over, except, like, these people aren't Nazis. They're just like kind of hippies or whatever, you know. This is a true story. True story. It's 6 parts long, about an hour each. Lots of twists and turns. It's really like probably my favorite thing about it is you'll in one moment be kind of siding with the people who lived there before these people showed up, like, and then the next minute you're like, no, these people have a right to live wherever they want to, and if they are outnumbering the people that live there, that's the people, that's boohoo, that life sucks. Sometimes you're outnumbered and you're not in the majority or whatever, you know.
Right.
It's not like these people are moving in like in Welcome to Leith, where it's like, hey, we're Nazis and we're gonna like, these are just like kind of, they don't even like, you know, they're a quote unquote cult, but there's not, it doesn't seem to be much of a philosophy guiding them other than just like, let's all live together and have sex.
Okay.
And do drugs, or I don't even know if they do drugs.
Kind of, it's a, been a couple of weeks. Hedonistic society.
Kind of, yeah. And like, I don't want to spoil it, but like, I'm telling you, I'm sitting there in the middle of the third episode going, you know, fuck these racist fucking people living in the middle of nowhere. They don't like it. They can fucking move. And then the next episode I'm going, oh, holy shit. and it's just kind of like the filmmakers on this, I don't know where they fall on the subject, because the movie is, or the documentary is almost like, like, that's the challenge of it, is it's asking you, like, what do you think? Like, we're giving you all this information. And, like, a lot of things in real life, it's not so cut and dry. It's really complicated, you know? And people could be right on both sides, and people could be wrong on both sides. Just really, really fantastic documentary. It goes places that will fucking blow your mind, where you're just like, wait, what? Like, if you're not familiar with the story at all, do not read up on it. You don't want to spoil the ride. This is really one of the best things I've watched in a long time. It's an easy 5 stars. Kind of blew up there for a minute. Like, it seemed like a lot of people were talking about it. A lot of my friends started watching it. But it's also one of those ones where if you just watch the first 2 episodes, you'll just be like, whatever. Like, I did have some friends like, yeah, I watched the first 2. It's kind of slow. I don't know. And it's like, dude, trust me, you got to keep going, because it's like by the time you get to the end of the 4th one, you're just like, okay, what the fuck? And then there's still 2 more left. It's a wild, wild story. Highly recommended. Add that shit to your queue, Chris.
Cool.
Very good. Did you watch all of this already? Lost in Space?
Yeah. I did actually watch all of it, which is odd for me. I don't normally like binge watch shows. I just finished up Black Mirror, like, so.
Oh, you finished up all of it?
Yeah, I finally finished up all of Black Mirror, but
wow.
Lost in Space came out on like a week ago, I think, and I started watching it over the weekend and finished it just a couple days later, like. It is a light sci-fi action adventure remake of Lost in Space. It's the 60s TV show. The Robinson family getting lost in space. And this all takes place on one planet. And I think all the characters are fun. The kids that play the Robinson kids are pretty good. The people that play the parents are pretty good. Parker Posey plays a like kind of like the main villain in the she actually does a really good job of being like, you really never know where you stand with her. But
I mean, I think that's great casting. It's, I haven't seen her in forever, it feels like, too.
Yeah. And she, like, she's so manipulative. Like, she just pulls off a great performance in it. It's not like I've heard some people complain that it goes a little heavy on like Murphy's Law. Like, this is a sci-fi action adventure show. Like, it's not fun if bad shit's not happening to them at all times. Like, that's where the adventure part comes in, right? Like, they're trying to get off this planet. You want to see the, like, the crazy shit that comes up. Like, what happens here? What happens there? And yeah, that, the Robinson family definitely has some plot armor, but this is definitely a setup for, I think they're going to make more, because by the end of this, they're actually lost in space. Like, at the beginning, they're kind of part of a convoy, and there's other humans, other families that are involved in this season. But by the end of the season, like, they have definitely, the Robinsons themselves are alone. I think it's fun. Like, I burned through it. It's very light watching. It's easy to watch, easy to kind of just like sit and get engrossed with. And then, you know what? It's over. Like, it was a good fun time.
How many episodes was it?
10. So it's not
Okay.
like super long. I am happy that, like, Netflix has seemed to, with the Stranger Things, they did like 8. I don't know. Did they do more with? I haven't watched season 2 yet of Stranger Things. Did they do more than that with?
No, I think it was 8.
Yeah, it's like, I think when like Daredevil, I think was like at 13 or something like that, and I think that ends up being too long. I think like 10, 8 to 10 episodes is kind of the right amount for a lot of this, because like then there doesn't end up being like a couple filler episodes that aren't there.
Yeah.
And this just moves the story. And there's a very good arc from beginning to end, and it sets up for a second season, which I'm hoping they end up making. And yeah, I thought it was very well done. Some of the CGI maybe not the best, but it's good enough.
Rating.
I'm gonna go with a 4 for Lost in Space.
Okay. Dude, speaking of bad CGI, I guarantee you it's better looking than the CGI I saw in a movie, little movie I watched last night called Blade.
I bet,
Oh
yes.
my
I can
God.
guarantee you it's better than anything in Blade.
I mean, I don't know the last time you saw that fucking movie, but
Been a
dear
while.
Lord. That's some fucking 90s ass shit there. Like, it literally, like, there's a part where, like, Stephen Dorff gets cut in half and, like, his body goes flying up and there's blood coming out. Like, it just looks like the fakest video game shit you've ever seen. Like, video games look way more real now than that shit. That was kind of a trip watching that last night. But before we move on, like, I gotta get your assessment of Black Mirror real quick. Like, what'd you think? Any episodes that really stand out for you?
I like the series as a whole. Episodes that stand out. I mean, there's like, one that actually, I guess, has like a happy ending. But most of them are pretty bleak, right? Like, but San Junipero is an excellent episode. I actually what was it? Hang the DJ was another one that I kind of liked. That kind of had like a happy ending too.
Yeah, that was like the current season's like attempt to do that again.
Yeah.
It felt very much like they were trying to, like, oh, we have to have one because people loved the uplifting one so much last time. I
Yeah.
didn't find it super uplifting though, because it's just at the end you just realize you were just watching an algorithm the whole time. It's just
Yeah,
like,
like
okay.
the whole thing was just playing out.
Yeah.
Like, there are some that were just like really interesting. I think like Nosedive, which is
I
where
love that one.
with the social media score, like very interesting there. I didn't really like Playtest, which I think was the VR type
I think that's
thing.
probably the weakest episode of the whole series. I don't
Yeah.
know how or why, but it's just okay, he's
The
in
concept was
VR.
great, but it's just, I don't think it really worked. Let's see, what else? Like, there was a
USS Callister, did you like that one?
It was okay.
I really dug that one.
Like I liked aspects of it. I like that the virtual consciousness of all the other people he's kidnapped just like have given up and they just drink all day while he's not there. I thought that was hysterical. White Bear in season two, I really liked. It's like she doesn't remember anything, and like she ended up she was a criminal of some sort, and she like people don't talk to her, but they like they're all watching her.
I don't think I remember that one that well. I like the Christmas one in season two. That's crazy ass one.
Is that the one with John Hamm?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a good one too. And actually, I liked everything in USS Callister. I thought might have been the weakest in season four, but I think I liked pretty much everything in there. Archangel was like super dark. That was
You know which one I really love?
the
I really love, I think it's called like Metalhead. It's
Yeah,
like the
like
one that's in black
yes,
and white.
it's
Dude, it's like a Terminator movie, but it's just a
with
dog.
those dogs. Oh, they were terrifying.
Like, it doesn't have any cool like sci-fi ideas really in it. It's just a fucking like it's like watching the Terminator, like just really pared down and not much of a plot. This dog is trying to kill her. That's basically it. And I really dig that one, despite the fact that it doesn't have a lot of ideas in it.
Crocodile, which was the one where like there's a device that can kind of like see your memories, and like she's like an insurance ad adjuster or something.
That one is so deep.
Super dark.
Yeah. Like it just, oh, it's almost over the top dark, but like that's. For me, that's like what I always ask stuff to do, so I can't complain when a show finally does it. So
It goes so dark, and it's like,
it's
and
like
it
almost too
ends up a
dark.
fucking guinea pig is what like ends up catching her.
Yeah.
Oh wow. But the one I really dug out of season four was the last episode. It's called Black Museum.
That's pretty cool.
And I that's the girl in that, she plays a Black Panther's sister in that.
Yeah, Shuri
Yeah.
or yeah.
But I love that, like in that story, you see the lollipop from USS Callister. You see the iPad, like the thing from Archangel. You see
Yeah.
all these things from like the previous episodes are kind of like in there in this like twisted ass museum. But ultimately, it was like a huge setup by this person touring this museum to
Yeah,
get back at her dad, like get back and at for
revenge
yeah, revenge that had
for
happened on her dad, which was it's a phenomenal episode, so.
that's pretty cool. Like I generally like most of the series, but I'm surprised that you like USS Callister. I think is like a top five episode.
It was I liked it. It's just there was something about the Star Trek-ness of it, like just didn't mesh with me.
I think I just love Jesse Plemons as this creep, dude. Like
Oh,
he's
he
so
was
good
really
at being
good,
a
yeah.
creep. Well, I'm happy to hear that you finally watched it all and you like the show. So, I mean,
Yeah.
now you're all caught up for. I'm assuming we're gonna get another season at the end of this year. So, that's I always look forward to more Black Mirror.
Yeah.
We got two more theatrical releases to talk about before we wrap this one up. One of them I wanted to see, I didn't get to see. Should I have gone to see Blockers, Chris?
It's fun. You saw Game Night, right?
Yeah, I liked
Yeah.
it.
It's along those lines. Like it's kind of.
A one night thing where things get crazier and crazier, like,
Yeah,
yeah.
so it's prom night for these three girls, and their parents kind of find out that the three girls have like created a sex pact and they're all going to lose their virginity on this night. And the three parents set out to stop that. Well, two of the parents set out to stop it. The other one's like, he doesn't want bad shit. He's trying to stop them because he wants his daughter to have the best night, the best prom night possible, and let her do whatever she wants. So he's actually trying to stop the other two. But it's John Cena and...
Blanking.
Leslie Mann, maybe?
I want to say that, but then I think I'm mixing her up with someone else. Yes, Leslie Mann.
Yeah. So, like, they're the two, and I can't think of the guy's name.
Baron Holtz.
Yeah. So he's the father of the daughter who they don't have a great relationship, and so he's trying to make sure that they have a good time. John Cena and Leslie Mann's characters are trying to stop their kids from having sex, and it's just like hijinks. Like, it's just like things just keep escalating. They keep going crazier and crazier throughout, and there's actually some good messaging in it, and some cool, like, interactions between the kids and the parents at the end, where the parents have to realize that they have to let their kids make their own decisions and trust them to make the right decisions or not make the right decisions. Like, if they fuck up, like, you have to live that's, with other consequences, yeah, you have. So
that's life. Yeah.
And there's this great scene between Mitchell, John Cena's character, and his daughter at the end, where one, John Cena comes in and he like throws the date of hers like against the wall, like, across the room. And then they have this great scene where, like, you know, his daughter's like, hey, like, it's wonderful that you like are trying to protect me, but like, you've already done that. You already did your job. You brought me up. You show me how to protect myself. And there's like a really cool message between it all. But mostly it's just like
hijinks.
Yeah, it's just absurd hijinks, and on both sides, like, the kids are doing crazy shit and the parents are doing crazy shit, and it's just fun. Like, it's fun. I think we laughed. My wife and I both went. We laughed throughout the whole thing, and it was a good time.
Yeah, and I heard kind of along what the lines of what you're saying is, like, there's a surprising amount of heart to it, and that the kid actors are actually good.
Yeah, they're really good.
And the movie is kind of surprising when it's coming from the teenager's perspective. It's like better written than you would think. So, like, all these things, I'm like, I wanted to see it when I thought it was just a dumb rated R comedy, and to hear there's a little more meat on the bone than that, even, like, just a little bit, sounds cool. So I don't know if I'm gonna get to see it in the theaters. I am excited to see this movie, though.
I swear I think I saw it like on Redbox's like upcoming for like June or July. Like, it's not that far out at home release, so
sure. We'll see how it goes. But yeah, I'm excited to see it. What's your rating on that one, Chris?
I'm gonna go with a 3 on that one. But it's it's definitely a cool, like, date movie, date night movie to watch.
We'll see if I make it. I mean, there's nothing. I mean, I guess other than the Infinity War is coming, but other than that, there's not a whole lot in theaters that I want to see still. Oh, anyways. Time to wrap up this week with our review of A Quiet Place, which is the new film directed and partially written by John Krasinski, aka Jim from The Office.
Yeah. It's
a horror film. I think I already said it, starring him and Emily Blunt as his wife.
Which is, I guess, is his real life wife.
Yeah. So, keeping it in the family here a little bit. This movie got a lot of hype, a lot of buzz. You and I think both ran out to see it opening weekend, which was a couple weeks ago now. It's kind of interesting now. Usually we review a movie within days of seeing it. I've had some time to sit on this one and really think about how I feel about it. But just to set it up, it's post-apocalypse, end-of-the-world type shit. These monsters have killed everything. And we're following this family who's trying to survive as they like live out on this farm in the middle of nowhere. And the gimmick here, like the twist done to great effect, is that these creatures have like super hearing, and like that's how they get you. I don't think they can see. It's all done by their
they can't see ears. Yeah, it's all sonar.
So these people have to be as quiet as humanly possible in order to survive. It's a cool gimmick. It's a cool twist because, look, there's a point in every horror movie where the main characters are trying to be quiet because they don't want to get caught by whatever's coming to get them. Well, this movie just like amplifies that times a billion because they built the whole movie around that idea. I think the movie gets an incredible amount of tension. Like, this movie is like a clenched butthole for 90 minutes, basically.
Yeah.
At least that's how it felt watching it in the theater. Because the movie is so, like, the movie itself is so quiet and, like, devoid of dialogue or anything that you're just like, you in the theater are trying not to make any noise to ruin other people's experience. And then like that kind of feeds off of the tension of the film in the first place. It's a very unique kind of thing that like I say would make it worth going to see in a movie theater. Cause it's a unique experience. I haven't had an experience like that in the theater before. What'd you think, Chris?
Definitely agree with the way the sound is designed in this, that you are terrified to make noise in the theater. I don't normally buy popcorn when I go to movies.
I do.
but I did before this because I was starving because I had come from work and I hadn't had lunch. So I like, I'm going to get a small popcorn. Grab the popcorn and sit down, and like eating it through the previews, but I still had some when the movie kicked on it. And there are these long stretches of no sound, and you are very aware of every crunch you are making, every noise that your body is making, because everything is amplified when there's no sound. And it's this awkward, so like you're kind of put in this awkward position. And then add that with what you're actually seeing on screen, which can be super tense. And you end up like just in this tense situation yourself. And it's so delivered. Like it's that feeling is just well established and pushed through. So, it is a hard movie to watch, but also I felt very very good. Like I enjoyed the majority of it.
I like this thing a lot. There's a part in the middle. First off, the sound design is just phenomenal, despite the fact that there's almost no sound through a lot of it. But there's a part where it kind of crescendos in the middle. This part where there's fireworks. You know the part I'm talking about?
Yeah.
It's just like everything starts happening at once. You're like, oh my god, there's a fucking nail sticking out of the floor, and like, oh my god, like there's, I mean, this thing is surprisingly like inventive and scary and tense. It's kind of amazing that someone who has not worked in this genre before did this, because it's one of the best horror movies of the year so far. There's some really creepy imagery. There's like some very tense moments. Like I said, there's this nail that is sticking out of the stairs that you just know something terrible is going to happen. The creature design is cool. I mean, there's a part where you get to see the creature really well in a basement that's kind of with red lighting. It's just really fucking cool looking. Kind of looks like a mix between like a xenomorph and like a bug or something, like whatever
Yeah, it's like a
these things
weird,
are.
like nasty looking creature.
I think that without spoiling it, I think that the solution is kind of clever. How they have to deal with these things.
Yeah. So
There's
when I
problems with it.
yeah, so when I saw it, I was like, that's really cool. But then I started thinking about it, and I'm like, well, so they established that like this happened, and over time, like everything deteriorated. But there were still like newspapers to the point like people are saying like, hey, we know what it is. It's sound. Be quiet. Like,
Yeah.
if you want to survive, be quiet. Like, these are on headlines of newspapers, which were somehow delivered to people. And like, you start thinking about it, and it's like, well, if they knew what the problem was, a year ago, over a year ago, because like it's like 400 and some days at the end of this movie. It's like, why did it take a deaf girl and her mom to figure this out? Like,
Know.
why couldn't like some of
I
our best scientists figure this shit out?
kind of accept. Well, maybe they did, but by then it was
Yeah,
too
maybe.
little, too late. I don't know. I kind of accept that. There's something weird. I'll maybe bring it up to you after episode where I was like, I don't understand why. Like, maybe there's something I'm not getting. I'll ask you later. But overall, I mean, this thing's a fun, tense little thrill ride. It's like I said, pretty tense and pretty scary and. It has a little bit of emotional punch to it. I think it has a pretty awesome cast. This is pretty
Yeah,
high recommend for me.
I really like the Millicent Simmons who plays the daughter Regan. She's actually deaf, so like her performance is great, and it lends, which is exactly what Krasinski said he wanted there, but it lends like this authenticity to the movie that like when you cast somebody that isn't deaf in a position like that, like just. It's not true enough, and like she actually is able to pull it off like so well because of her disability.
I mean, she and she, some of her frustrations and stuff, I'm sure she could be pulling from her own life experiences, this movie's pretty fucking solid all around. I like it's settled down for me a little bit. Here's what I'd say about like one problem I have with it a couple weeks out, and it's not so much something that's wrong with it, but I tend to like to rewatch movies after a couple years and see how they hold up. I don't know how many times I can rewatch this one. There's like no dialogue in the thing. There's maybe like
Yeah,
2 minutes of talking,
it's almost a silent film for most of it.
So once you know everything, I just don't see myself. Like, it's a nice one-off trick. Like, it's a cool one-time viewing. I don't see me buying this and watching it, again. Maybe
Yes.
way down the line, watch it
Yeah,
again. But,
certainly not like anytime soon. And I also think like you said it at the top, like it is a movie that almost designed for theater going experience. I don't know if watching it at home is going to have that same effect for people. I will give it this, which was a complaint that I had kind of with Get Out, which I really liked as well. But Get Out seems to have like some tonal issues. This is the proper tone all the way through. I thought it was like tonally perfect. It never kind of strays. It doesn't try to like inject like some weird comedy into it that feels out of place. Like it is a bleak film.
It tries to inject a little bit of heart, but I liked it. Like that, it, like. I think you know the part I'm thinking of near the end. I was kind of sold on it that by that point. I just kind of went along with it. Like, okay. This I mean, I'm sure a lot of people have gone and seen this already. If it is still in the theater, I would recommend going to see it in the theater. But yeah, it's a pretty damn good horror movie. I'm going to give it 4 stars.
Yeah, that's where I'm at too. So, it's great to see. It's already made $110 million, or just about $110 million, which is great to see. It's like 2 weeks old, so like, I love that. Like, we're getting horror films, and that people are like jumping behind them. And
there is a trend now of people come from the world of comedy going to horror with great results. So, Danny McBride, I'm looking at you. Don't fuck this up. To bring it back to Halloween.
We can only hope, right?
That'll do it for this week. I make no promises about what's coming next week. I would really like to see this movie, Den of Thieves, that's coming out on video.
Okay.
It's like a heist movie starring 50 Cent. Like, that just sounds fucking great. I have Proud Mary here, which is like the action movie starring, what's her name? Taraji P. Henson.
Yes. Yes.
Who knows what I'll get to, though. We'll see. I don't know if there's anything in the theaters this weekend for me.
I don't. I'm mildly interested in Traffic.
I don't even.
It's Omar Epps and Paula Patton. It looks interesting. It kind of like a stalking type movie where couple and like they go out to like the woods or something like out to like a mountain home, and but like this white trash lady, she ends up putting a phone inside the girlfriend's bag, and then like these bikers or truckers or like probably some sort of drug dealers end up chasing them throughout. I don't know if I'll end up going to see it, but I like the trailer for that, and I do like Omar Epps, so
I thought the trailer was pretty good. Yeah. What's that?
I have Movie Pass, so
like, yeah. Me nothing. I saw the trailer for that. I forgot. It's maybe in front of A Quiet Place. I was like, damn, that looks pretty intense.
Yeah.
I'd be interested to hear what you say. The Super Troopers 2 is coming out, which I wouldn't mind seeing, but I'm not going to the theater to see, I don't think. I was a pretty big fan of the first one when it came out, but that was like a certain time and place, if you know what I mean.
Yep.
So, I don't know. I'm sure we'll have stuff for next week, but there's plenty of stuff we just gave you to go watch now that is really good. If I'm Netflix alone, so enjoy. And we'll be back next time.
Movie dudes.